Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming. Good to see you. It's good to be back. It's good to be here at Mercy Vineyard. I missed you guys. And we had a great vacation. We were on vacation, if that's what you want to call it. Have you ever taken a vacation and when it's over, you're like, I can't wait to get back to work so I can get some rest? Yeah? Yeah, okay, so sometimes you know you have those. And for us, it's like we're so busy during the year that when we get vacation, what we do is we do all the little projects around the house that we couldn't get done during the year because we were too busy. So, you know, we painted a bedroom and we did yard work and all sorts of crazy stuff. And so it is just so good to be back to work and so I can finally get some rest. So that's great. Hey, this morning, if you don't know me, my name is Lee. I'm the lead pastor here. And a couple quick things. If you've got a young person between the ages of 12 and 25, or something like that, 22, we've got a superhero movie night coming up Friday night, and we'll be here at 7 o'clock, and we're going to watch a superhero movie and have a little costume contest. If you choose to dress like a superhero, a recognizable superhero for us is like, what obscure manga character can I dress up as and come? What weird anime character that nobody has ever heard of can I come and dress as? just giving my son a hard time. So we're going to do that. We're going to have some pizza. We're going to have a great time. Bring $5 to cover pizza and soda and whatever. And so we'll be here at 7 o'clock on Friday night. That'll be a lot of fun. And then also coming up, I know Dan mentioned it in the video, but October 4th starts our Fall Alpha session. And if you have not been through Alpha, it is awesome. And so how many of our Alpha alum? Was that not incredible? Alpha was awesome, okay? And so I want to encourage you, if you've not been through Alpha, it's incredible. That's going to start on Wednesday night, October 4th at 6:30. And so we're going to get together. We're going to have a meal together. We're going to watch a video together on different things about life and the Bible and all sorts of cool things, and then we're going to discuss them, and it's going to be a great, great session. If you have been through Alpha before, you can come back and do it again, but we really want to encourage you to bring somebody, right? Bring somebody. They don't have to come to the church here. Just bring anybody. Just grab somebody off the street. Say, hey, come to Alpha with me, okay? So bring somebody to Alpha to do it through you, to go through it with you, and it's going to be a great. And so we have a sign-up sheet for that on the coffee counter. And if you sign up for that, basically what you're signing up for is basically an email list so we can give you information about you know, the dates and times and all that stuff. And so let's do this. Wendy, do you want to grab that sign-up sheet? And we'll just pass it around. If you don't sign up for it, if you're just not interested, but just, you know, pass it on to the next person. But Alpha is a great time. I highly, highly, highly recommend it, as does anybody who's been through it. So that's my commercial for Alpha. So, hey, let's say our vision statement. Let's put that up there. Can we say it together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about. That's what Mercy Vineyard's all about. And we do that through different missions projects. And we do that by serving each other, by growing in Jesus, right? By loving God and loving others. And so we're so excited to be a part of a church with such a great mission. So what we're doing this week, what we're doing this week is we're starting a new three-part series, and it's called Identity Crisis. And I really felt the Holy Spirit impressing on me that we need to talk a little bit about identity. Our identity as God's people, our identity as a church. And one of the most important questions in our entire lives is the question, who am I? Right? Who am I? And what, you know, what am I here for, you know? And I think that none of us ever actually, I don't know, has anybody ever sat and asked themselves, who am I? Anybody ever asked themselves? Okay, well, a couple of honest people, right? Yeah, who am I? You know, what am I all about? Who am I? I think a lot of times we may not consciously ask ourselves, who am I? But we do spend a great deal of time and effort trying to answer the question, who am I? Even if we're not consciously asking the question, who am I? And we, in fact, I think that would be probably one of the most sought after answers really in our culture. We're always asking, who am I? Or trying to at least answer it. Because what do? A lot of times we express our identity maybe through the music we listen to. I mean, I remember back in high school, if you dissed a band that somebody really liked, those were fighting words. I mean, we had kids that would tattoo Ozzy on their fingers, back in the 80s. I remember one kid, there was a heavy discussion over whether or not Guns N' Roses was a good band or not, and it almost came to blows. Because people, you know, will express their identity through the music they listen to. We express our identity through the clothes that we wear, or we express our identity through our attitudes. We express our identity through our opinions. We express our identity through our ideals, you know. And some people even feel like their identity is, I don't care what anybody thinks, but they spend an awful lot of energy expressing that they don't care what other people really think, right? And so that's how we express our identity, a lot of people, okay? Or we wear labels, or we have labels placed on us. I remember when I was in high school, there was like maybe 3 or 4 labels. You know, you were a prep, you were a jock, right? Do you guys remember those labels? You were a burnout. I remember a kid when we transitioned from 9th grade to 10th grade, because 9th grade was still junior high for us, and 10th grade was the first year of high school. And I remember that summer, he and I were just kind of sitting around. It's a boring, you know, summer day, nothing to do. And we were talking about starting high school the next year. And he actually said, he actually had given it a lot of thought. He says, you know what, I think I'm going to be a burnout. I think I'm going to join the burnouts. And so he started growing his hair long, and he started wearing black concert t-shirts. And lo and behold, he got into school, and that's who he hung out with. That's who he wanted to identify with. Today we might be a little bit different. You know, we got hipsters, and we've got fanboys. We've got rednecks. I looked right at Gino. We got rednecks. We got rednecks. Or we've got liberals, and we've got conservatives. People want to identify with, you know, liberals or conservatives. And there's just, you know, we tend to derive our identities through, like, external things, right? Music, fashion, all those things. Social media has become probably one of the most popular broadcasters of our identities, you know. And a lot of times we like to broadcast our identities through social media. We broadcast to everybody not necessarily who we are, but how we want people to perceive us, don't we? You know, I mean, most people don't wake up in the morning with bedhead and take a selfie, right? I heard somebody say, like, it was like, who was it? Kardashian somebody. Say that it takes about 16 selfies for her to get the right one, you know, to put it. 16? I don't think I take 16 pictures of myself in a month, you know. And so, but like 16. And so we want to broadcast our best, or how we want people to perceive us, not necessarily who we truly are, okay? Like, yeah, have you ever seen somebody, you know, maybe take a picture of their salad? Right? Hey, I you know what? I did like a 10-day juice fast, and I remember taking a picture of all of the fruits and vegetables sitting out on my counter. What is it that we're trying to project? What's the identity that we're trying to project? Right? I care about my health. I'm all about being healthy. I'm all about sort of the healthy sort of thing, right? Or, hey, check me out. I'm at a concert for a band none of you have ever heard of, right? Okay, where's Dan? Yeah. But what's the identity we're trying to project? You know, I'm a nonconformist. I'm not part of your mainstream, right? Yes, you are. You're on Facebook. Or I fell asleep with my baby on my shoulder, right? I don't know how people do it. You ever see people post a picture of themselves sleeping? How do they do that? Or people who, like couples, who post a picture of themselves that somebody else took, which meant that they obviously had to ask a stranger to take a picture of them at the at the restaurant or their waiter or waitress, okay? But so if they say, you know, here's a picture of me with my baby on my shoulder, what identity am I trying to project? I'm a caring parent. Look how much I love my baby, right? Well, that was the easy part, napping with your child on your shoulder. Trust me. I've been there 3 times. Okay? I'm going to give you guys a few, like, Twitter profile bios. Let's see if you guys can guess who this Twitter profile belongs to, okay? So, here's one. Former Mr. Olympia, Conan, Terminator, and Governor of California. I killed the Predator. I told you I'd be back. Who was that? Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's he trying to project? I am a mega celebrity. I'm huge, right? Mr. Olympia, the Governator, even though I can't even pronounce California. California. So I'm a mega celebrity. Or how about this one? Here's a Twitter profile I'd like to just see end for now. 45th President of the United States. Everybody goes, eh. It's not that. I just wish he'd have a professional run that profile. That's all. Have somebody else run your Twitter profile. If I were the president, I wouldn't want to bother with my Twitter profile. I'm the POTUS. I'm the POTUS, dang it. Isn't that what he's trying to project? I'm the POTUS. Okay? How about this one? Actor, producer, running in movies since 1981. Tom Cruise. What is he trying to project? What's he trying to project? I'm an action movie star, right? I'm an action movie star. I've been doing it since 81. I've been running in movies. How about this one? The voice of the people. Sorry, people. That's Conan O'Brien's, you know? I'm funny. That's, you know, trying to protect my identity. I'm a funny guy. Or how about this one? Running around leaving scars, collecting my jar of hearts, and tearing love apart. Lord Voldemort, actually. Yeah, you know, as a Lord Voldemort parody account. I thought that was hilarious. So, we project, our identities through these things, and how we want people to perceive us by our little bios, our profiles, our things like that. And so, listen, your identity is one of the most important things about you. It's one of the most important things about you, okay? And here's the thing, you can tell that your identity is so important because the enemy is just works overtime to try to confuse people about their identity, right? I mean, think about that. You know, if the devil can get you to believe something about yourself that isn't true, then he can just wreak havoc, right? Because truth is so important, and especially when it comes to the truth about God and how he sees you and the truth about your identity. And it's so important to the kingdom, to your lives, and to the people around you that you have a true sense of your identity and who you really are. And so when people, accept an identity that's anything less than God's identity for them, when people accept an identity that the devil gives them, then what happens is they get confused. We fall into confusion when we begin to believe the devil's identity, right? The identity that the devil gives us. We get confused. We get confused about things like our purpose, right? It's hard to understand our purpose when we don't understand our identity. We get confused about our self-worth, right? Our self-worth, we don't understand our identity. And I think that even one of the reasons why we have people today that are even confused about gender is because they don't understand God's identity for them because they've accepted an identity that the devil gives them, which is very confusing, right? And so rather than going, well, I am as God made me, I'm confused. There's actually a news story not long ago. There was a girl who identifies as a cat. And she's going around meowing, right? And so we live in this culture where we're expected to, just say, well, that's how they identify, and so we have to identify with that too. And that's not God's plan for us. That's not the identity that God has given us. God did not make her a cat. She's a daughter of the king, right? And so we have to understand that our identity is so important. And when we're solid in the identity that God gives us, that God has given us and has imprinted in our DNA and imprinted in our spirits, then we can walk forward in victory. We can walk forward in God's purpose for our lives. And so it's so important that we understand our identity, okay? And so God calls us his friends, right? And God's identity for us is clear. And we don't ever have to be confused about God's identity for us. God's identity for us is clear, okay? And he calls us his friends. He calls us his sons and daughters. And it's identity that's more powerful than what we do for a living. God's identity for us is more powerful than our identity in the music that we listen to or the clothes that we wear or our opinions or our political affiliations or anything like that, right? It's more powerful than what we do for a living or how we dress or the music that we listen to. And so what we believe about ourselves is one of the most important beliefs in our lives, and that's why it's so important that we believe what God believes about us and not fall into any sort of deception that the enemy might try to bring about who we are and our identity. And if we get a hold of this, and we get a hold of this today, I'm telling you, it will make such a difference in our lives. It will make such a difference in not only our lives, but in the lives of the people around us, okay? And so, what is our identity? What should we believe it about ourselves? What is God's identity for me and God's identity for you? These are huge questions that we're going to tackle over the next few weeks. But hey, let's take a break real quick and let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the way that you love us, and we thank you, God, even if we're not even 100% clear on it, we thank you for the identities that you have given us. God, we thank you that when we ask ourselves the questions, who am I? Who am I? God, you have clear answers for that. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, open our eyes to your word, Lord, and help us to walk in who you have made us to be, and nothing less. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So everybody doing good so far? Yeah? Everybody doing all right? Man, that beard is looking awesome. Seriously. Oh, gosh. There's like three people who come to this church who have just the most amazing beards. And I'm just every day I think, God, make me more like them. So I want to start off by taking a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. It says this. It says, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Okay, there's so much in this little passage right here. I just want to just extract a couple of things about our identity from it, though. But if you remember just one thing this morning, please remember this. You're a new person. You are a new person. Who am I? I'm a new person. And here's the thing about this that God has just begun to show me is that tomorrow I'll be a new person again. And you know what? The day after, I'll be a new person again. And every time that those thoughts of just sort of like, oh, I'm just a culmination of my mistakes, I'm just a culmination of whatever, guess what? I'm a new person. I'm a new person. We are people who are continually being made new every day. I'm a new person. And so some people think, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years, and you know, it's been a rocky road, and I've stumbled, and I've fallen. Yeah, that's all true, okay? But guess what? Today, I'm a new person. And so it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, or if you're not saved. Well, it does matter if you're not saved, because you need to become a new person, and you could become a new person today. But what it is every day we are becoming new. We are being made new. You're a new person. You're not the same old person who drives you crazy. Do you ever drive yourself crazy? Yeah. Nobody drives me crazy like me. Nobody drives me up a wall like me. Nobody is like the biggest hindrance in my life but me. You know, if you ever tried to lose maybe like 10 pounds or lose 20 pounds or lose weight, and you just stumble, and you struggle, it's nobody else's fault but yours, right? I mean, nobody's like coming up to you while you're sleeping and cramming calories down your throat, you know? No, it's you, and so you get mad at yourself, don't you? I'm so mad at me. Or you ever say something really stupid? If you haven't said something really stupid, you just don't talk. And you know, or just say something really stupid, and then you're so mad at yourself. right? And you just drive yourself crazy. I drive myself crazy. I am the single greatest hindrance in my life to reaching my goals, to growing in Christ, you know, all those things. I drive myself crazy. But here's the thing. According to Scripture, I'm not messed up, right? You're not messed up. You're not worn out. You're not damaged goods. And guess what? You are not the sum of your mistakes. And I really, when I was going through this morning, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, somebody here or somebody's here really needs to hear that and understand that. And so I'm going to say it again. And I want you to hear those words as if they're coming from the Holy Spirit himself. You are not the sum of your mistakes. You are not the sum of your mistakes. Because a lot of times, isn't that the identity that we put on ourselves, right? We're the sum of our mistakes. And we can list, just without any hesitation, everything that's wrong with us. We can list without any hesitation all the things that we have done wrong. All of our failures, all of our shortcomings, all of the missed goals and missed expectations. But you are not the sum of your mistakes. Because Jesus has made you new, and he is making you new every day. And so this morning when you got up and you said, hey God, you are new. And tomorrow morning when you get up, you are new. God's mercies are new every morning. You are not the sum of your mistakes. Because if we continue to just put that label on us, I'm the sum of my mistakes, I'm just I am just the product of poor eating choices. I am just the product of poor moral decisions. I am just the product of whatever, right? And we put that on ourselves, then we will never walk in God's identity. We will never walk in his purpose for our lives, right? And as long as the devil can keep that identity on us, we will be completely ineffectual for the kingdom, right? And so we have to understand we are not the sum of our mistakes. Jesus has made us new, and that is good news. That is really, really, really good news. You guys don't seem to believe that that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. Look at the person next to you. Just say, hey, you're brand spanking new. You are brand spanking new. Wake up. And then say, wake up, and then tell them you're brand spanking new. All right? All right, the next thing, and this goes with what I was just saying. The next thing is this. You are what God says about you and not what you feel about yourself. You are what God says about you and not how you feel about yourself. Well, we tend to attach our identity to how we feel about ourselves, don't we? We just do it. How do I feel about myself? I feel bad about myself. I feel like a loser. I've heard that many times. People tell me, I feel like a loser. I feel like I'm never going to get out of this rut. I feel like, I feel like, I feel like, I feel like. And listen, you are not what you feel about yourself, okay? Have you ever, any parents here ever have a child say, well, I feel this way about myself, and you're looking at them and you're going, that's not how I see you, right? I see a champion there. I see somebody who's awesome. I love you, right? Or maybe your spouse is just feeling a little run down or feeling, you know, not so good about themselves. They're having a bad day, and you're looking at them going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You are awesome, right? We had those conversations, okay? You are not what you feel about yourself. And your feelings about yourself do not determine your identity. Your newness, because God has made you new, doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't depend on your track record. It doesn't depend on your reputation. Jesus paid a really high price to make you new. So we need to start seeing ourselves through God's eyes and not our own eyes. Okay? Because if we all looked in the mirror and kind of determined who we are and answered the question, who am I, based on what we see in the mirror, a lot of times we're not that impressive looking, are we? You know? Just go to the mall. I hate going to the mall. It's the worst lighting. Why is it that when I go to the mall and I catch my reflection in one of those mirrored pillars, I'm like, ooh, who's that? Well, that's me. You know? You ever done that? Or did you ever end up with, like, your friend posted a picture of you on Facebook where, like, you're in the background of a photo about to sneeze? You know? Why is it that the pictures that get uploaded of you that somebody else uploaded, you always look awful? You know, they catch you at, like, the worst angle about to sneeze, you know? And then you're tagged in that, and you're like, son of a gun, untag. You know? And so when we look at ourselves, a lot of times, we don't feel like mighty men and women of God. Our feeling, we can't let our feelings determine our identity. We are what God says about us and not how we feel about ourselves. Okay? And so if we accept the identity that our feelings give us, we will be on an identity roller coaster. Totally. Okay? And it's because one day you can feel like a loser, one day you can feel like you're on top of the world. Okay? Maybe you work a job where it's like, oh man, I did it and I had an amazing sales day, right? I made more money today, or I accomplished a big project today, or whatever, and we feel great those days, right? You know what? When I sell a website, I feel great. I'm like, awesome, I sold a website, hey, you know? Or if we have a Sunday where every chair in here is filled, I leave feeling pretty good about myself, okay? It's that identity roller coaster, okay? And we can't let externals determine our identity and who we are. We can't go on this identity roller coaster. When we're faced with a choice that go, because if we let our feelings, choose our identity for us, then when we're faced with a choice that goes against God's best for our lives, we'll make the choice out of how we feel instead of what God says we are. Okay? You guys kind of, you tracking with me on that one? Okay, that's so important because we're faced with choices all the time. And a lot of times the choices we make don't necessarily reflect who we are. Because when God says, hey, you're awesome, you're a mighty, you're a king's daughter, you're a king's son, and when we're faced with a moral choice, sometimes what will happen then is we'll let how we feel make that choice for us instead of our identity. Okay? You ask any man, sometimes, like a man who will struggle with addiction, what happens is they feel awful about themselves, and so what do they do to help them feel better because they feel awful about themselves? They engage in their addiction. I feel like garbage, so I'm going to go look at pornography, right? Or I feel like garbage, so I'm going to go get high. Or I feel like garbage, so I'm going to go buy a bottle of Jack Daniels, right? And so the addiction just sort of like numbs that pain for a little bit, and then they feel awful again. And they're stuck in a cycle of addiction, and part of that is because they don't understand who they are. They've forgotten who they are. And they're a king's son. And the king's son doesn't get into that stuff, right? And the same thing with what will happen with women is women will feel awful about themselves. And so they'll get into a relationship with a man who doesn't treat them the way they deserve to be treated, right? Or they'll get involved in a relationship with a man simply because they're afraid that they'll never find anybody else. So I'm going to be with this man because at least he's here, right? Okay? And they'll let themselves be treated as less than a king's daughter. Well, here's the thing. A king's daughter doesn't let herself get treated that way. When you're the king's daughter, you can go, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, right? Because you're the king's daughter, and you're not going to be treated that way. But when you let your feelings determine your identity and you feel awful about yourselves, then you get into relationships that you don't belong in. And it's so important that we understand God's identity for us because that identity will begin to shape the choices in our lives. So you are what God says about you. You're victorious. You're an overcomer, right? You're highly favored. You're walking in righteousness. You're empowered to prosper. You're more than a conqueror. You're in training for reigning, right? When you accept those things about yourself, you let that identity guide you instead of how you feel about yourself. Y'all track it with me? Because this is like way better than what you're nodding. I'm just saying. This is awesome. This could change your life. So we are what God says about you and not what we feel about ourselves. And then the third thing is this, and this is so important in Scripture, you matter. You matter. Listen, if you didn't matter, Christ wouldn't have gone to the cross for you. Okay? It's so funny because we go through life thinking, I don't matter, I don't matter, I don't matter. And I think Jesus is up there going, what more do you want me to give? What more do you want me to do? What else can I do to make you feel like you matter? Because I already gave everything. 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 Right? You matter. You matter. You matter so much that Jesus took the punishment for your sins. He was executed by crucifixion. And it's His love that makes you matter. It's His love that makes you real, right? Do you ever feel like you weren't important before? Yeah? Me? Okay? You ever feel like you weren't important? Maybe you just feel like you didn't matter. You ever feel invisible before? Like you weren't real because you didn't have the perfect body, you didn't have much money, you weren't popular, or you didn't have a great track record. And according to verse 16, that's called evaluating yourself from a human point of view. But Scripture tells us not to evaluate from a human point of view. Okay? And so you don't want to evaluate yourself from a human point of view. Not only does His love make you matter, His love makes you a work of art. See, it's not like His love makes you tolerable. Right? His love makes you a work of art. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's what? Masterpiece." Exactly. We are God's masterpiece. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Tell the person next to you you're a masterpiece. And if they happen to have a stellar beard, you tell them, "Hey, stellar beard." Stellar beard. If you're sitting next to a woman, do not tell her she has a stellar beard. Okay? So, you know, you are God's masterpiece. One of the coolest illustrations, do you guys remember the old book, The Velveteen Rabbit? You guys remember that book, The Velveteen Rabbit? I love that book. I'm gonna read to you. Let's just do story time right here. It's story time. Velveteen Rabbit. Okay? Eric, if you want to come up here and sit on the floor, you can. Okay, I want to read to you just a little excerpt from The Velveteen Rabbit. And I love this story, and it's just such a great illustration of us becoming real, us mattering because of love. It said, "The blossom opened, and out of it there stepped a fairy." Okay? It says, "She was quite the loveliest fairy in the whole world. Her dress was of pearl and dewdrops, and there were flowers round her neck and in her hair, and her face was like the most perfect flower of all." Sounds like Wendy, doesn't it? Oh, that sounds like you, baby. Yeah. Okay. So, you matter, honey. "And she came close to the little rabbit and gathered him up in her arms and kissed him on his velveteen nose that was all damp from crying. 'Little rabbit,' she said, 'don't you know who I am?' The rabbit looked up at her, and it seemed to him that he had seen her face before, but he couldn't think where. 'I am the nursery magic fairy,' she said. 'I take care of all the playthings that the children have loved. When they are old and worn out and the children don't need them anymore, then I come and take them away with me and turn them into real.' 'Wasn't I real before?' asked the little rabbit. 'You were real to the boy,' the fairy said, 'because he loved you. Now you shall be real to everyone.' And she held the little rabbit close in her arms and flew with him into the wood." Did you guys catch that? Did you catch that? Love made the velveteen rabbit real. It was love that made the velveteen rabbit real. And God loves us. And it's His love that makes us real. It's His love that makes us matter. Right? The car that you drive doesn't make you real, doesn't make you matter. The job that you have isn't what makes you real. Having six-pack abs doesn't make you real, right? Being the smartest person or making the most money or any of those things, they don't make you real, they don't make you matter. It's love that makes you matter. It's love that makes you real, and it's Christ's love for us that makes us real, that makes us matter. And here's the thing that's just so important that we have to understand through all of this is it doesn't end there. Because God's love is so massive, it's so powerful, that when we love others out of the overflow of God's love for us, then other people become real. Then other people begin to matter. That's so important for us to understand. Not for it to end there, "I'm real, I matter, this is awesome, I'm a king's kid." But when we begin to let God's identity to overflow through us, then other people start to matter. Other people start to become real. And see, when I say it's so important that we understand our identities, that we understand who we are in Christ, it's not just for us, it's for the people around us. Can you imagine? I mean, just imagine what your workplace would look like if you walked in God's identity for you. If you say, I'm real, I mattered, I'm loved, I'm a king's kid, and I'm just going to love others with the love of Christ flowing through me. What a difference it would make. I think one of the reasons why change tends to be slow in our culture, I think one of the reasons why so many of us sit back and go, man, you know, it's just so hard, to advance the kingdom, it's so hard to share the gospel, it's so hard to share Christ with others, is because we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. But when we begin to understand how much we matter to Him, how loved we are to Him, that we are who He says we are and not what we feel about ourselves, that we are new people, then that begins to rub off on other people. And we begin to love other people and they become real and they start to matter. And we have to understand that it is for us, and that's awesome, but it's not just for us. Okay? We have to love so that other people discover that they are loved as well. That's why it's so important that our identity is in who God says about us. It changes our lives, and it changes those that we come in contact with us. When we refuse, when we hold on, I mean, I've talked to people who are just like, I'm just messed up. I'm just messed up. Right? It's almost like they, you know, God says, no, you're awesome, you're new every morning, and they're like, no, I'm just messed up. And when they hold on to this confusing identity, when they hold on to this identity that says, I'm the sum of my mistakes, when they hold on to the devil's identity for them, the people around them suffer. You ever notice that? The people around them suffer. And they suffer because this person could be radiating with God's love for them, but they're not. But they're not. And so it impacts the world around us when we don't accept who we are in Jesus. Okay? When we understand that God's identity for us. And so today what I want to do, Wendy, if you would come up, I want to do this. I miss doing this. I missed you guys so much. I want Wendy to come, and I just want to pray for you. I believe that, you know, there are people here that are struggling with their identity, that maybe you have placed an identity on yourself that's a sum of your mistakes rather than on the price that Christ paid for you and on who God says that you are. And so I want to pray for you. Or maybe you identify yourself not as your past mistakes, but you identify yourself in the present opinions that others have of you, right? And so maybe you're struggling with with your identity because of the present opinions, the current opinions that other people have about you. Or maybe your identity is in your future fears. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen with our world? What's going to happen with our government? What's going to happen with my job? Right? What's going to happen with my relationships? And you've allowed your identity to kind of be part of, you know, fears for tomorrow rather than who God says that you are today. And so none of these things have to define you. God says you're new. God says that you matter. God says you're a masterpiece. And so if you're here this morning and you'd say, I am struggling with that, then we just want to pray for you. We just want to pray for you. And if you just go ahead and why don't you close your eyes. If that's you in any area, would you just put up your hand so I can see and I can pray for you? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people struggle with this. It's so important. Anybody else? Go ahead and just put it up and we're going to pray for you. All right. Thank you. You put your hands down. I just want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just come into this moment right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just break off the lies. That you would break off deception. That you would break off confusion. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just break off the arguments. Sometimes, God, you come along and you say, I love you so much, you're so awesome, and we argue with you. Yeah, but I did this, or yeah, but I feel that way. Yeah. I ask God that you just break off all the yeah buts. And that your grace would come and allow us to encounter your love, to experience your truth. God, that our identity would be in who you say that we are and not on how we feel about ourselves. God, that we are not the sum of our mistakes. We're not the sum of our bad decisions. We're not the sum of the stupid things that we do. God, we're masterpieces. We're loved. We're your children. God, come. Give us a vision. Give us a revelation of who we are in you. I think God might be leading some of you to do something very practical today. Very practical. And that would be simply to write down who you are in him. Write it on your hand. Write it someplace where you can see it. So that when you're feeling like you're the sum of your mistakes, you can go, no, I'm not. I'm a masterpiece. I matter. I'm who God says I am. I'm real. I'm loved. You know, when I said earlier that we are highly favored, walking in righteousness, empowered to prosper, more than a conqueror, and training for any, that's something that I memorized 20 years ago and say to myself every day. Because I need the reminder, not because I'm arrogant. I'm not, you know, Muhammad Ali saying that I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. I say that I'm highly favored, walking in righteousness, empowered to prosper, more than conquering, training for reigning, because I need the reminder, because my emotions like to argue with that. I think some of you need to write that down or memorize an affirmation of who God says you are. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves the truth until our emotions follow. A lot of times we let our emotions, you know, we let our emotions lead and we kind of, you know, follow behind our emotions, but instead we need to let the truth lead and eventually, whether or not the emotions catch up with us or not, it's about the truth and not how we feel about ourselves. Did you have anything?
I'm just that I feel like sometimes we think about ourselves based on, it's hard for us just to accept these things in the way that God thinks about us because it does feel arrogant. It does feel, it's difficult to accept because we know our own flaws and shortcomings. But one thing that I always have to remember, and I would encourage you to remember, that it's not because of you that you are all those things. It's because of him. And because he is enough. And one of the things, like, he was saying that we just have to remind ourselves, like, you know, I was struggling with this recently and just feeling like, you know, because you go through seasons where you just feel like you keep making mistakes or whatever. And you start to get down on yourself. And there's a scripture I came across, I think it's in 1 Peter, but put it as a reminder on my phone. It comes to me every day. And it says, overwhelming victory is mine through Christ who loves me. It's not because of me that I'm so cool and I can get all this done or that I can matter or that I can do great things for the kingdom. It's because of Christ who loves me. And every day I have to come to, and I look at that every day and go, okay, he loves me. And because he loves me, all of these things about me, right? So it's not because of you or anything you've done or said. It's because of him. It's always because of him.
It's not arrogance to say that I'm a child of the King. That's not arrogance, you know? And to say, oh, no, that's not me, that's false humility. That's not godly humility, right? And so humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking about yourself less, right? And so, remember this, when we get in these jags where we're the sum of our mistakes, where we're the, well, we're awful, we're awful, we're awful, aren't we? We're always thinking about ourselves. You know, it's all, we're always thinking about ourselves when we are down and negative about ourselves. And so let's just say one final prayer. God, I pray that over these next few weeks, you would open our eyes, open our hearts, that you would deliver us from false humility. God, that you would deliver us from wrong thinking. God, God, if the devil can think, can get us into a wrong ideas about our identity and who we are, he can keep the kingdom just squelched and stifled, and we don't want that, God. God, we want to bring glory and honor to you by the way that we think about ourselves, and we bring glory and honor to you when we think the truth about ourselves, when we see ourselves the way that you see us. So God, I pray that you would bring freedom to our hearts from false identity. Freedom to our minds from false identity. I speak a spirit of freedom over everyone in this room now, God. Freedom, God. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Freedom to celebrate who we are in you. God, someone said a very long time ago that Christians should be constantly celebrating. I pray, God, that you would let that be true of us. Celebrating because of what Jesus did, that we're real because of his love. In Jesus' name, amen.